It's 28 minutes to 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Darren, you know how important education is. You and I speak a lot about the importance of schools, universities and so on as a value, as an aspiration. And when there is success, we celebrate. And when there's things which need to be spoken about, we also celebrate that to try and get things to be better. And I think as a value you and I hold as a collective, one in which we want to be better today than what we were yesterday. And today we really want to congratulate and talk again to our very good friend first and foremost, but in a professional sense, is the principal of North Home Grammar School, Mr. Chris Bradbury. Happy New Year, and I can't believe saying Merry Christmas to you, Chris, and now you're going back to another year for 2021. Welcome and thanks for being with Darren and myself this morning.
Happy New Year, Jim and Darren, and it's always a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I can't believe that so much happens in such a short time. The build-up of the HSC, the anticipation, the energy, the nervousness, the challenges that come with it. The results are then highlighted, people's directions short-term in the sense of what they want to do get crystallised, and then you move on to another year to develop and promote and build the school. We want to focus on your results from last year because, or last year or for this year, but with last year's cohort, year 12. First, on behalf of Darren and I, congratulations not only to them, but from year 7 right through, because you don't just concentrate on year 12. This is a cumulative effect that's taken place, and we think that's important. But just for the time being, we do want to focus just on those results and your impressions and your staff, and it's just an incredible story. So, we want you to share that. What are your thoughts and reflections on your 2020 results?
Oh, look, as a community, we're incredibly proud of what our Year 12 students were able to achieve in 2020. The results in themselves are truly remarkable in many ways. And when you consider the level of the performance and the results in light of 2020, the year that we had with COVID-19, this is a group of young men and women that have demonstrated enormous resilience and determination to obviously cope with that external pressure and at the same time maintain that sense of discipline and determination to achieve their very best. It was just an absolute pleasure to work with them. They were highly dedicated in the way that they approached their studies. And I think that when you look at our context as an all-through school, being K to 12, it's just magnificent to be able to return to 2021 knowing that we've had a Year 12 group that has continued the tradition of academic growth over the last few years, but they've set a really positive example on what success looks like. And that's not just in exam performance, but I think more specifically, it's the dispositions and skills that they've demonstrated. And that's at the heart of the HSC. At the end of the day, the students receive a mark. That mark is very important, but education is about preparing students for life, and it's the hard work, it's the discipline, it's the dedication, determination, it's all those wonderful values that we're now confident that our students will take on leaving North Home Grammar.
It's a very strong message, and one that you very much have at the heart of you individually, but also every day on a daily basis you try to bring that to the surface for your staff, for all the people that come on a daily basis to the school, and that's all the students and every other stakeholder, and you're to be congratulated, because if we look at the history of what's happened since you've been there in particular, and I'm saying this, everyone helps dig the world, so there's not a problem with that, but truly you have at the heart those values are really bringing out the best in each of your students, and that's really reflected in the results and your achievements for 2020. So let's go through some of those. Tell us about those, because we talk about band 4 and 5 and 6 and all of those types of things. What does that mean, and tell us about the ranking that the school took place in 20.
Thanks, Jim. Yes, there's a whole new language that complements the whole process of the HSC, and the concept of bands is very important within that. If a student achieves over 90 in a subject area, they receive a band 6, and then 80 to 89 a band 5, 70 to 79 a band 4, and then so forth. And there's essentially 6 bands. The Sydney Morning Herald HSC rankings, I have to say from the outset, I think is a flawed system in some respects, in that it does only focus on band sixes. And statistically, there's so many areas that schools need to be, I think, intentional and deliberate in exploring, in truly understanding academic growth. But nonetheless, the band six data is applied because it's probably the easiest in terms of determining how schools have performed in a particular area. So North Home Grammar was very fortunate to have achieved the most band sixes that we had, which was 24%, which meant that we were ranked 61st in New South Wales. And we're incredibly proud of what we've been able to achieve over the last 2 years, because we were 308 at the end of 2018, and we were incredibly determined at the start of 2019 that scholarship and academic growth was going to be a key priority in developing our students. And from 308, we moved to 113 at the end of 2019, and then obviously from 113, which was a 195 place improvement, we again were able to move with strong improvement to 61st. So the number of students at North Home that achieved a band six was incredibly high and placed to 61st in the state. But some other really positive statistics, we had 30% of our students that achieved an ATAR of over 90. 85 of our students achieved either a band six or a band five, which meant that in at least one subject they achieved over 80. And there was a significant increase at North Home Grammar in the number of students that achieved over 80 and over 70. And I make that point because that's not reflected in the league table, but the HSC obviously is incredibly pivotal in terms of determining opportunities after school. But schools have to be committed to academic growth. And whilst we celebrate the overwhelming number of students who achieved over 90, there's equally significant success stories from those students who have achieved 80 and 70. We talk a lot at North Home about personal best and achieving potential, and we're very fortunate with our size and context that we can give real weight and merit in terms of where a student starts at the beginning of the academic year, where we believe they can finish, and then being able to form a really strong learning partnership with both students and home, the parents, to ensure that we can maximise the opportunities to achieve their very best at the end of the year.
Congratulations, Chris, to you, the staff and the students for that outstanding result for 20. What are some of the guiding principles that you have to ensure that you're going to continue that success? We're really interested in finding out what makes you tick in the sense of what's important. So how do you do that? How do you mobilise the troops, so to speak, to do that on a daily basis? Because that's a challenge.
Look, it is a challenge, and I think at the very basis is what is at the heart of your educational philosophy. And we articulate very clearly that we believe in academic intentionality with pastoral attentiveness. That's very important to us because it means that we want each student to grow academically, but we want each child to grow in terms of their confidence and their well-being and their sense of character development and citizenship. So it's about educating the whole student. And in terms of students having that capacity to reach their full potential, we pride ourselves firstly on having a school-wide commitment to moral purpose, to scholarship, to excellence. We want to challenge and know every student. I think that's the first point. We also want to ensure that we build on the learner's experience, that each child grows in their knowledge base, and as a result, they develop both confidence and competence so that they can move to autonomy and self-actualisation. And I think that's really important. We're very clear in the premise that school is about guiding and mentoring students. We need to be very clear and explicit on what success looks like, what it takes to be able to achieve. to scaffold and model those particular principles. And if we do that well, complementing a strong partnership with the student, well, then the student ends up being the teacher at the end of the process. And you only have to look at the calibre of our students that have graduated and the level of their performances. Their knowledge and skills is just incredible, and they haven't just mastered the HSC. More significantly, they've mastered the foundations of being successful in life. And thirdly, and I think this is a really important part of our educational philosophy, and that is we focus on the individual potential of each student as a learner and a person, and we want to develop the individual learning skills and their ability to master life after school. The only true skill that is transferable across domains is learning. We talk a lot about 21st century skills like creativity, critical thinking, problem solving, which, as you know, Jim, they're incredibly important, and education is about developing those. But they are domain specific, meaning that you can be a good problem solver in mathematics, but you may not be a good problem solver in other particular disciplines because you don't have the knowledge. So it's developing those skills with knowledge, but the one thing we do know is if you're a great learner, if you have the capacity to appreciate what it takes to be a good student from kindergarten through to the end of your life, you've got a really good opportunity of succeeding. So part of that personalised learning approach, Jim, is that we want students to be passionate about learning. We want them to be engaged and motivated so that they understand those wonderful rewards at the end of the day if you're prepared to put the hard work and have the discipline in the learning process.
I feel like I need to re-enroll and come to your school, Chris. We're going to go to a little break. It's been an amazing story, and thanks for celebrating and sharing with us those concepts and values. As a parent and as a grandparent, the story that you tell and you do on a daily basis is outstanding. Let's go to a little bit of a break and come back.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.
It's 12 minutes to 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and I'm privileged to have on the line Principal of Northam Grammar, Chris Bradbury. And if you don't know, listeners, I'm an alumni from Northam Grammar. 1994 is when I graduated, if you can say that, and I remember the HSC very well. And that's my question to you, Chris. How much importance does society and parents and even the children themselves put on the HSC when I think once you've done it, you see that's just part of the pathway? What's it like these days for students doing the HSC?
I think that's a really good account and description. There's no doubt that it's a very important and significant aspect of the educational journey, because it's the final point, if you like, in regards to a student's education. I think the HSC needs to be put into perspective. It is important. It is an opportunity and a gateway in many respects for students to be able to move into the university course they're seeking to achieve, or a particular course or program that they'd like to engage in when they leave school. But they really need to put into context that that it's just one of many challenges, I think, in life that we need to meet. And I think we need to put the HSC into context that whatever happens in regards to that result, there is most certainly life after the HSC. But I do think the residuals of the HSC that are quite positive is that it does give a sense of direction. It does build students' capacity to build self-discipline and commitment to study and to learning. And that hopefully students have been able to discover and find the subjects that they're really passionate about in Year 11 and 12, so that becomes a stepping stone for them to move on after school. But certainly, I think for many, they see it as being, you know, that ultimate mark that will determine the rest of my life. Far from it. Far from it. And there's certainly extraordinary opportunities for students, irrespective of what eventuates as a result of the HSC. But I do think that particular pathway does provide students with a framework and an opportunity to be able to develop their passions. And as I indicated earlier, to develop the disposition of learning as a really important transferable skill for the future.
Well, I already gave away when I was at the HSC, so I can show my age there. And back then, it was very much the HSC, at least, a very structured type environment, very much not flexible. I understand these days there's more flexibility in what people can do and what students can do for the HSC. Can you share a bit of that flexibility that exists now in 2021?
That's right, Darren. English is compulsory, so every student in the state has to study English, advanced or standard, and they have to complete 10 units of study. So essentially that would be at least another four subjects. And there really is a diversity of subject selection for students to engage in. And interestingly enough, there is a curriculum review taking place. So it'll be fascinating to see what the elective framework looks like for 9 and 10, and that will give us some insight perhaps into what year 11 and 12 looks like. But I think there's a neat balance of the STEM subjects, mathematics, science, engineering components, and then at the same time there's a wealth of options in regard to the humanities. You have your histories, your business studies, society and culture, legal studies, and so forth. And then there are VET opportunities and opportunities for students to really get into the practical aspects, which I think students absolutely thrive on. So the creative and performing arts, design and technology, which allow students to not just complete an exam, but they have to engage in a major work, whether that's an individual or group drama performance or a major work in design and technology or to present their piece in music. So you're quite right that there is a diversity of options, and again I think it's really important for students in their early years from K to 6 through to 7 to 10 that they have that capacity as they get more autonomy in selecting their portfolio of subjects to study, that they become intentional and conscious of what their strengths are, what their passions are, so that they have the opportunity to spend their final 2 years of study engaging in what they really love.
So it's interesting to hear that maths is no longer compulsory. Jim, what are your thoughts on that? I loved maths. I would love English not to be compulsory in my mind.
It's always interesting. I've heard many times people say, why do I study that? It's not actually the content that's critical. It's the, in my humble opinion, if I can say as an educator, it's the skills that come through that. And when we look at, you know, learning and to become critical and reflective and to look at problem solving, that's, to me, the basis. Whether you study Pythagoras' theorem or things like that, yes, that's important for certain things, but it's what you take away from that. That's my view with regards to mathematics, which is a yes, they should be, it should be compulsory, but that's for another day. Darren?
Another day indeed. I thought where you have been with finance,
yes.
Did you need maths for that?
Yes, you do, yeah. Because it helps you in your problem solving with regards to being able to use things. Even people say, oh, why do I have to use a calculator because I can do it this way? Depending on where you are in life, it's about trying to learn why things are the way they are. And, you know, I look from a practical point of view, I look at all the government sites and I see the amount of problems that people have which are relating to money, whether it be their retirement planning or scams or things like that. It's all around a foundational basis of mathematics or arithmetic or being able to understand those concepts from a practical point of view.
So your thoughts, Chris, there to take us out?
Yeah, look, I think there's two key points to that, and I agree wholeheartedly with all those sentiments. Firstly, within our context, mathematics is a highly popular subject selection. So although mathematics is optional, most of our students in year 11 and 12 choose mathematics, and I have no doubt it's because of the very reasons that Jim neatly articulated, and that is that those problem-solving skills are incredibly important and paramount in most career options because we need it in our day-to-day lives. So interestingly enough, there's a great debate, should maths be compulsory or not? I think fortunately within our context, we've got an outstanding mathematics department and that certainly helps, but most students choose mathematics. But the second thing I'd just like to say is this is where schools need to be really agile in this space. And whilst the HSC does have a diversity of subjects, schools actually need to go beyond the HSC. And that's not just in 11 and 12. They need to do that from K to 12. So it's for that very reason that one of our key strategic priorities is the development of our enterprise and entrepreneurship program, which there's no exams. It's not part of the NEFA curriculum. It's our curriculum. And we want to ensure that that our North Home students, as North Home graduates, have that level of exposure to what does it mean to be an entrepreneur, but I think more specifically the life skills of how do you write a CV, how can you best perform in an interview. Contracts is such an important area. There's very little attention at all in the curriculum on contracts, other than if you were to do it as an elective in legal studies. But understanding the mobile phone contract, understanding what does it mean to buy a car, what are the expenses that go with that and the level of responsibility. We want students to appreciate budgeting, saving, those key principles. So this is a really exciting area that obviously gets touched on in some areas of the curriculum, but there isn't that deliberate and intentional approach. And that's where schools need to look beyond the set curriculum from NESA. And they need to be able to build their own to ensure that students are genuinely prepared for the challenges of life after school, which, as we said at the beginning of our conversation, that is at the heart of a quality education.
Chris, we've come to the end of a fantastic and a very enlightening and just a great positive step with regards to education and schools. Later on in the year, reasonably close, we'd like you to come back, because one of the things that concerns a lot of parents is looking for signs in their children with regards to stress, mental aspects and so on. So we'd love you to take that invitation up and help our listeners understand the world in which they grow and their children. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for the opportunity to chat this morning, and I very much look forward to speaking again in the future.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, and have a great morning.
Thank you. Take care.
Alive 90.5.